Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Chevalier Mortgage. You can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578 or visit dnvrmortgage.com, where you can get signed up for a free consultation and to discuss all of your options, as well as get free DNVR merch. Check it out today. I'm sure you've heard about the great mortgage rates out there right now, but Mike and Virginia are not your typical mortgage company. Yes, they do have the phenomenal rates, but what makes them different is that Mike is a certified financial planner and looks at so much more than just rate when designing your home loan. Plus, they're a small family-owned company, just like us here at DNVR, so you'll always feel like a person and not a number. Again, head on over to dnvrmortgage.com and check them out today.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts. Rudo, AJ, Blake, coming at you in a game that feels a little bit too common. I feel like we've been here before.
We definitely have been. Dr. Yeah. Dubs making house calls all the time.
High scoring Dubs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No shortage of goals in Dr. Dubs' bag today. Avs win 7-5 over the Philadelphia Flyers.
Friars.
In a game that
for Friars.
Certainly could have been easier. But the Avs still took care of business, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think, can we just cut to this now?
We probably don't have it set up on this computer. Do we out here? Do you know?
Oh,
there it is. Oh, we do? Amazing. So this pretty much sums up the entire game, if I do say so myself. That is a dog taking a poop on center ice. Just so we're clear on what's happening here. Here, let's talk about this to start. The Avs scored 7 goals tonight.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the defense that played tonight played a regular season game in December. So.
I want to talk about the offense before we get to the defense. Because the Avs did score 7 goals tonight, but this one felt a little bit more... It was a full team effort on the offensive side. It wasn't, oh my God, Nazem Kadri and Cale Makar carrying the hell out of this team, right?
Yeah.
So, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because, yes, the Avs are getting quality depth scoring, but at the same time, Nathan MacKinnon still hasn't scored a goal.
Yeah, he... definitely body language. You could tell out there that he was not having a night at all. So
he was
definitely
not
frustrating
happy.
For him. But you got to overall, like the Avs having scoring that much depth scoring, like multiple people with 2-point nights. Obviously, when you score 7 goals, you're going to get that. But seeing it throughout the lineup is great. And the way that they scored, I mean, there was some good goals scored Ooh-ee. From most of the lines tonight. Wow.
Yeah. There were some beauty snipes from Landy had. Great shot.
Yep.
Kadri had maybe the best shot of the game. EJ had a ridiculous finish.
Yep.
Tyson Jost had a ridiculous finish.
That one might
finish.
Be tied for...
Yeah, that one was insane, too.
Beautiful goal, too.
So the only one that wasn't super pretty was Newhook's, I guess, with the deflection off the defenseman kind of nonsense. Yeah. But look, the Avs have zero problems in the production department. I think that much is pretty much clear at this point. They're in their last... what, 10 games now? Like, they had the one game against Dallas where they only scored one, I guess. Yeah. And besides that, I think they've scored at least four in all of them. So, ooh, yeah, he's going to have to learn how to finish a little better, if you want to call him that. But, I don't know. They say Gretzky couldn't lift the puck, so what do I know? Yeah, Nuke had a... Well, all right, so Nuke's... is it a... uber elite snipe where he banks it off the post, off the goalie, and in?
Doesn't it went in.
Are we giving him credit for the super snipe?
Yeah,
it sure. went in. Let's go. Give it care. To him.
Okay.
It give in. The man some dues.
Yes, the power play went 3-for-4 on the night officially.
Yeah, crazy.
And the Evs had 4 special teams goals. There were 6 special teams goals in this game. 2 shorthanded goals.
Bro, you would never know the Avs won this game by some of this comment section tonight. This is crazy.
I don't know what to tell you, man. They can be mad.
I mean, certainly there were imperfections.
No doubt.
That we'll get to. Like, you don't give up 5 goals because you're playing awesome hockey. But also, there are some things. There's some context there, you know, that...
Yep. The Avs trailed for, what, 5 minutes of this hockey game, if that. They gave up the first goal and then took the lead and led all the way through, even if it was a little sketchy at times.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, look, you're up 4-1, it gets to 4-3, you're up 5-3 going into the third.
And it's early 5-4.
And it gets to 5-4, you're like, dude, what's going on here? But... like, they finished.
Yep.
And if you go and you look at the shot metrics and all that stuff, it's going to be a little deceiving because I was telling you guys, the Avs are plus 11 in shot metrics when they score their 7th goal. And then after that, Philly really put the foot down and really started to generate some chances. And it's like, oh, well, when you're down by 3 with 7 minutes to play in the third period and that's when you really get your foothold into the game... boy, howdy.
And you look at it in every period. Yes, it was 4-3 after the first, but the Avs outshot Philly 14-8 in the period. I don't know what the final was for the second period, but it was 7-2 at one point when I checked it. So it's not like the Avs weren't controlling this game. And a lot of the things I think you would take repeats of in this game, the only thing that you want to see them really tighten up is that defensive puck management.
Yeah.
Because that's where...
there was some bad turnovers in the defensive zone.
They're definitely some of their puck management tonight was brutal.
Yeah.
Like it led directly to goals against, some chances against. I mean, just brutal, brutal play with the puck. And then you go and you look at the defensive lineup and you're like, okay, so you've got 3 guys you really trust with the puck in Girard, Taves, and Makar. Yeah. And then you've got 3 guys, you've got 2 guys that you absolutely don't trust with the puck in Jack Johnson and Curtis McDermott.
Yep.
And then the last guy is Eric Johnson, who
total YOLO.
Who on any given shift, you have no freaking clue anymore what you're about to get. Because he was all over the place tonight where there were some... I mean, the goal that he scores is great. He saves a goal
literally
later on.
Literally saved a goal.
Does a great job there. I think he picked up an assist. I'll have to double check, but I think he picked up an assist.
I think you're right.
And, like there were moments. Like, he unleashed a bomb of a one-timer where we were like, my gosh.
Where did that come from?
And then there were some of the same, like, just brutal.
Turnovers.
Brutal. And... decisions with the puck.
Like, what are you
bad
even
turnovers
doing?
And losing battles that you should definitely be winning, especially as a bigger guy. You know, he loses the battle to the front of the net to Cam Atkinson, who's my height. Like, it was just like with EJ, it's just so up and down, and you're like, man, this is definitely what. This is definitely what you need Bo and Byram for, to really like
stabilize.
If you're gonna play, if you're gonna play the kind of balls out, like go hard kind of offensive assault kind of defense that Colorado plays, where they're so aggressive on the rush and they're so aggressive activating offensively. You need guys that make good decisions. You need guys that can activate it. When half your defense can't, it's problematic for you, and it leads to some issues because forwards are expecting certain things, and now they're having to double back and this and that. And like, it's there's a lot right now that needs to be cleaned up. I wouldn't say they're major problems, but I would also point out, and I'm jumping the gun on this point, but I would also say, you're 2-1-1 on a trip in which neither of your top two goaltenders have played 1 minute of this trip for you.
Yep.
So, and both of them appear to be likely short-term. Kemper back taking shots in practice, still on the trip.
Frankie has two games under his belt.
Frankie now got his two conditioning games and could easily rejoin the Avs at the end of next week, or I guess the end of this week now. The second of those games was a shutout.
Yep.
So, like, you know, and he gave up 3 goals in the first period of his first game back, and he hadn't given up a goal in the 5 period since.
Yep.
So you're talking about with Frankie, you're feeling a lot better there. With Darcy Kemper as a short-term injury, you're feeling a lot better there. You're 2-1-1 on a road trip without 1 second of play from either your first or second string goaltenders. Now, I know that there are some big mad people about Colorado's planning for their goalies or whatever, but you're surviving with third and fourth string goalies right now, like getting lit up. Imagine that. Like, these guys aren't in the NHL for a reason. We talked about Eustace Annan not being ready for the NHL for a reason. Now, you wanted to give him a start because why not? Like, just throw him in there.
You might as well.
Yeah. Let's like throw him in there. He's here. You're in a situation where it's not like Jonas Johansson's playing so well that you just leave him in the net. You play Annan. He's not quite ready. You outscore your problems. You win a game. Great. Right. The point is that you won the game.
Yep. And it gets he gets experience.
Yeah, and he gets a taste of what it's like. But also, you're looking at it, and you're like, look, dude, if you have a legit NHL caliber guy, a guy that belongs in the NHL right now, this is probably a 7-2 game.
Yeah,
yeah.
And of course, if you're on the other side of things, if you have a legit NHL caliber goaltender, who knows how many of those
3-2 game.
Yeah, like who knows, right? But like with Annan, like Annan is just not ready. And this is the thing. When you give up 5 goals and like outside of the 5th goal, like you're looking at some of those and it's like, look, like you get big saves for a reason. And they all of those big saves come on defensive breakdowns. Every team has defensive breakdowns. The Avs, I don't think, and I'll pull up the numbers here in a sec just to double check, but I don't think that the Avs gave up more scoring chances or high danger chances than they normally do. It's just that, again, when you're not getting saves, everything looks worse than it is.
Yeah.
Yep, it's absolutely true. And I think, honestly, this is a great, not only experience for Annan, but he can take the tape on this and go, okay, clearly I can't have my 5-hole gaping open anytime the puck comes across the ice because he got beat twice that way. And however you feel about the other goals, it's great experience for him, and he gets to go back down to the AHL as a winning NHL goaltender.
Yeah.
So I have no problems for that.
Just to follow up on the point, because I said,
you got the numbers.
Numbers-wise, all situations. This counts everything. All the chaotic nonsense on special teams back and forth. Scoring chances, Colorado with a 31-20 advantage, and giving up 20 scoring chances is a really low number in the NHL, especially at all situations. And 8 high danger chances for each team, both of which are right around league average for a game.
Yep.
Well, it's actually both of those, both 8 is below league average for all situations. That would be fine for 5v5.
Right.
But all situations, 8-on-8, not a lot of high danger chances then for either team there. Yeah. So all of this, the Avs defense is terrible. The Avs. Goaltending is what covers all of that up. It papers over all of that. If you stop getting 800 goaltending, all of a sudden you're like, wow, the defense is so good. It's just how it works.
Yep.
So this wasn't a worse defensive performance than on average, but it's certainly like you don't feel good about it because you look at the breakdowns where you're, it's self-inflicted wounds more than
it's,
which like, how do you balance? Like, do you feel better about a self-inflicted wound versus the other team just whooping your ass?
No, I don't know which to feel better about. I mean, you know, you can fix the self-inflicted.
And that's kind of my, is like, you watch the tape, you try and get better at that. Now, there's a limit there because there are a handful of guys that you aren't sure should be in the NHL right now.
Yep.
But guess, like, every team's going to have to deal with that. You're dealing with that. Right now, the biggest area where the Avs have guys who shouldn't be in the NHL is in net.
Agreed.
And I feel like that's what's showing up biggest. More than all this, like, Curtis McDermott bullshit that everybody's losing their minds about. Like, more than any of that. Like, you need some saves here and there, and you're not getting them. Everybody likes Eustace Annan. Everybody's rooting for Eustace Annan, so nobody really wants to drop the hammer and say he played like shit, but I can be the bad guy. I'm fine with it. I thought he played like shit. I thought it was a bad night for him. It's also his first NHL start. I'm not writing him off as a future goalie. I'm not going to speed bag him or anything. I just don't think he played very well. I certainly wouldn't play him 2 days from now,
and that's fine.
And against the Rangers. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
I was happy he started tonight. I wanted to see how he would do. If he played well, I would say, hey, play him against the Rangers. He did not.
Yeah, we can.
Sure.
We can get. Well, let's see if it works this time. Last time it didn't work, but we have audio from Eustace talking after the game, so. Can you hear that, chat? Let us know.
Okay, so they can't
hear. I'm guessing they can't hear that at all. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll have to fix that because that's the same problem we had last time.
Very quiet. Yep.
Okay. Well, it is what it is.
Yep. Yeah. We'll get that fixed eventually, I promise.
Swear to God, we'll learn how to do our job someday. Look, when you're a poorly shot pod, what can you do?
All right. Well, for now, we are brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, so go use code DNVR and get yourself a ton of money. I made plenty of money on Cale Makar anytime goal scorer tonight, so go get that.
All of my money rests on the Nuggets game tonight.
Oh, boy. What you got good ones going on or what?
I picked them because I picked the Nuggets just straight up because they were dogs.
Because they have Jokic and they were dogs somehow?
Yeah, exactly. So I picked the Nuggets straight up. I also picked him to triple, not a triple double, but to break 45 point rebound and assist. So I was picking a big night.
So
for
like
Jokic.
A 30 bomb or something, yeah.
And I have absolutely no idea how he's doing. So, and then I picked a couple of like small prop bets on other players,
nice.
Zeke Nagy and stuff.
So. I might have hit all of my bets on.
Yeah, you were hot. You were hot tonight. That Miko two assists. I'm not quite sure how you managed to make it to that one.
Yeah, I just willed that into existence.
So, he didn't even know when it happened. He was like, "Who got that assist?" I was like, "Ranton," and he's like, "Yes."
I wasn't even sure he was. I wasn't even sure he was playing tonight. Really, until that second assist.
He kind of went to invisible mode, but it worked. Hit on over to DraftKings if you want to get a bunch of free bets when you sign up for a new account with code DNVR. You can bet $1 on any NFL game for a team to score a point. They don't even have to win. They score a point and you get $100 in free bets. So jump on that. It's free money to play with on DraftKings, and then you can bet on whatever you want with it. Super fun. You must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and other things apply. I don't know. I lost my train of thought. Go get the app now. The NFL is an official sports betting partner of DraftKings. And, of course, if you have a problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We're also brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery. I would love to have a beer in my hand right now, but I still can't drink with my wisdom tooth getting out. It's very, very sad.
Sucks because we had the free,
free
Crown
free
Royal.
Crown at the bar tonight. The
Crown rep came through tonight.
Yeah.
I'm drinking Crown.
me having gotten 2 hours of sleep and been up all day doing things meant that I was just, I'm not taking that chance.
Not going there. Yeah.
But I was laughing about that too, hitting the over in the first period.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He was having a giggle on that one. But hit up Breckenridge Brewery. You can get 8 different beers on tap here at the DNBR bar, or find them at your local liquor store with the Breck Beer Locator online. Bunch of amazing beers for you to try. They have a beer for everyone, but personally I like all their beers, so just go with that. And right now, it's a great time to get signed up for a DNVR annual membership, not just for the Avs coverage, which is pretty good, by the way. You know, we kind of have everything clicking. We gave you...
Except for the pod.
And even the pod's clicking.
The pod audio.
Very specifically, the pod audio has some issues.
It's also poorly shot.
Well, you know what? Maybe poorly shot is our vibe at this point. So, whatever it is, we got a lot of it, all right? Just like tonight, we'll have grades. We'll have you a post-game article, I guess. I don't know what you call that.
I don't really know. It's like our post-game piece.
Yeah.
Like, this game happened, and then here are some thoughts about it.
Yep.
I don't really know what to call it anymore. It's not a recap.
Deep thoughts by AJ.
We don't recap the game, and I definitely don't do deep thoughts. There have been some games where I've been like, let's get philosophical. This is not one of them.
You also have my reviews, which are just getting longer and longer because the Avs won't stop scoring goals.
Yeah. Or giving them up.
Like, yeah. Late night tonight.
Yeah,
for you.
It's going to be another long one, unfortunately.
Nobody is looking forward to March when the Avs are winning 3-2 every night.
Like
more
me.
More than
like,
Rudo.
Come on. I cannot wait for boring hockey.
Yeah.
But yeah, we like to think we make good content. You can also check out the Nuggets and Broncos beats. They got a bunch of awesome stuff as well. The Rams beat is vibing right now with their new head coach in football and their basketball team somehow still undefeated. Yo, so
did Zeke Nagy have at least 12 points and
it doesn't
rebounds
look like,
combined?
Doesn't look like it.
No?
Yeah. I mean, probably not, but...
Probably a pretty tough bet to hit on that one, but...
Yeah, I don't know. It seemed like free money, but... I should have just bet yes on the triple-double. I had the tinglies, and then I was like, I'm tired of losing money. So I lost a bunch of money.
Anyway, second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Let's get to our king of the game here. You know who it's going to be, even if he played like shit.
Yeah.
The dude not only got his first NHL win, he also got his first NHL point as a goaltender.
Yeah.
And it was also his first official NHL start. So, yes, I saw someone in the chat a long time ago said it. He has more points than Curtis McDermott this year. That is correct. So, he's living the dream right now.
Yep.
Congrats to Eustace Annan on his first career win. Hopefully many more to come, but not this year. Give it some
time.
Yeah,
we had some discussion about who the king of the game was going to be. It was between three people. Well, two people and an animal.
Yeah, I think... A fair conversation of why we struggled so much is our other one was like, should we get it to EJ? He made that dope save. He had a dope goal. It's like anyone we can give it to had like a critical error in this hockey game. Yeah. Cale Makar had that horrible turnover for the fifth goal. I know that goal didn't really mean anything, but still.
Eric Johnson saw the Avs had 20 scoring chance against tonight. Yep. Eric Johnson on the ice for 11.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Wow, that's a lot.
Some tough sledding with our king of the game candidates. It's weird to have a king of the game, and it's like...
He let in...
But also...
Yeah, we considered that as the king of the game as well.
Yeah.
That was the animal.
We had that conversation about, the dog pooper.
Yeah. Appropriate for this game, I would say. Anyway,
so I haven't even seen the Scott Laughton goal. I haven't seen the turnover because I was writing grades at the time. I just saw Annan's five hole just
apart
like the Red Sea, and Scott Laughton was like, all right, I guess.
A puck skips on Makar at the blue line and like got off of his stick and out of the zone, and he's just flat-footed.
Two-man attack, poke check to another guy.
You give up three or four of those every year where there's not a lot. I mean, the same thing happens to Claude Giroux in the first period. And you're just like,
where he fans on one and it's like, oh, no.
And where you're like, okay, well, this is the downside of power plays.
Yep.
And like holding the blue line is that if you make a mistake, you're in trouble.
You led us to a topic that I wasn't going to go to next, but we're here. So are we in agreement at this point that Logan O'Connor's shorthanded production is just sustainable?
No.
There's no way it can continue like this.
It's not, but also...
That's so crazy.
We are literally 5 weeks into the Avs can't keep scoring like this.
Yeah, it so, just keeps happening.
I don't know, dude. I genuinely... It's been such a weird-ass year that I just don't even...
It's just like every time it's shorthanded too and there's something like that happening, you're like, yep, 25 is out there somewhere.
Can you guys decide whose fault that last goal is so I know who to be mad at? Jeez. We've got Makar, we've got McKinnon, and now we've got Rantanen. Chad has decided it's all three guys' fault.
Okay, whatever.
Whose fault is it, fam?
I blame the dog.
No, we kind of were jokingly having the conversation of like, if LOC keeps up this shorthanded production...
Give him the Selke.
Does a guy force his way into a Selke conversation
on
if he has 15 shorthanded points?
Maybe. I mean, it's just a shorthanded points is just a stat you don't really think about until a guy is doing something like
this. I'm about to pick up Logan O'Connor in fantasy just for that, because we count shorthanded points and basically get double for everyone. Yeah. So just do it.
That's a gem then.
Yeah, exactly.
Tiffany's point they showed on the broadcast too, the Avs defense has actually passed their total at 5-on-5 for goals from last year already.
Yeah.
The Avs defense is pretty good at scoring goals. And more specifically, goal of the year candidate for Cale Makar.
Was that goal better than the Newhook goal two nights ago?
I don't think it was.
No. I don't either. I thought the Newhook goal was better.
But I mean, just from like a skill level, what Cale did out there tonight.
Well, like everything that Makar did before the shot is like pretty standardish stuff.
Yeah, but the shot itself.
It's really, really bad defense, yeah. And it's really awful zone entry. It's really lazy hockey.
Yeah.
And then you get to the shot where you're like, to elevate it that quickly and not have it just go sailing, like have it go yeah, straight
to the
moon.
And especially coming from right to left as you're going around a guy, to be able to elevate it, because like you'll see a lot of guys make that move.
Yeah.
And they usually just put it into the pads and hope somebody's there to just basically pick it up and score. He comes around that guy going from right to left and then elevates the shit out of that puck. It's unreal.
I mean, it's
high skilled.
Just be in the shot.
Yeah, right. It's not that big of a deal, man. Yeah, so like with Makar, like it's an amazing shot. Like you're just like, dude, what the what is this? Do you guys ever see that video years ago where David Blaine is on the street and he's performing tricks and the guys are responding, the guys are reacting to him, and the one guy just keeps going, "What the F? What the F?" Every time Cale Makar does something like that, I hear that guy's voice in my head going, "What the F, David Blaine?
Was this your guy?
Where's the puck? It's in the back of the net."
Whoa. Yeah. That's how I feel about it, is because I'm just like... Yeah. I don't even like there when Makar does certain things, man, there just aren't words where you're just like, okay, you're a fucking freak.
He did it again. Okay.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. It's and like he's scoring all the goals that Nathan MacKinnon isn't now. Because that's the kind of thing that we see Mac do.
Yep.
Yes. Yes, somebody has seen that video.
Awesome. That YouTube video, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. that's so. I'm glad other people remember that video.
It's
from
such a weird like corner of the internet.
A long time ago. I was watching a Bub Rub mix where I was just like, Bub Rub, man. This is from when I graduated high school level of internet. So good time.
I mean, yeah, every team's always going to respect Mac still, right? Yeah. But Cale Makar is just kind of doing it his own thing right now.
Yeah.
And yeah.
McKinnon had that great assist, too. It was a great pass.
Yeah.
Great read.
And the other thing with McKinnon is that, like, he produces, right? And he gets a point like that. His line drives play. If you go and you look at the numbers, they're driving play the way that you want to. And then you watch. If you just isolate just McKinnon, you're like, this guy's a frustrating player, man. Like, he makes a lot of mistakes. He does a lot of things that kind of leave you annoyed. You know, he tries to dance Claude Giroux and gets it stolen and it creates a chance the other way. He has what looks like is going to be a sure breakaway and he can't get it through Travis Sanheim's skates. And you know, it's just like there are certain things where you're like, some of this is going against him. And then he'll make, like, Martin Jones makes that really great save on the power play in the third period where he gets him in the mask. It's like, it's a great shot, man. He just
– puck's just not going in,
Right. If Martin Jones is an inch to his right, you know, if he slides just a little – like, that much more, man, that's a highlight reel goal, and Mac is back, right? Yep. Like, the dam is open. The floodgates have opened. It's all coming. But, like, he's – frustrating because there are mistakes that get made in the game where you're just he drives so much play forward that there are so many opportunities. You think how many opportunities did a guy like Tyson Jost have in the offensive zone tonight? Well, I remember one, and it's the one he scored on.
Less because even, he kept turning the puck over.
But even a guy like Alex Newhook, if you want to use a different example. Sure. How many in transition opportunities and breaks did that line really generate? Like, not that many, which is normal.
Yep.
And McKinnon drives such an abnormal amount of play that it feels like he's playing worse than he really is because he's just a freak of nature in his own way that has the puck in the offensive zone all goddamn game.
I think part of what makes that frustratedness out of McKinnon's game, though, is McKinnon is such a competitive guy that he expects everything he does to work every single time.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't work, you see him kind of go, ugh.
Yeah, it's eating at him.
He definitely gets pouty pants way too fast.
Yeah.
And that's a body language thing that really frustrates you. But when it's going well, you're like, he has 19 points in the last 10 games. Like, I don't give a shit. You know, like, I can live with all this. But it could definitely be.
Yeah, he's struggling to score right now. But if he's going to struggle to score, right now is the time for him to kidding. Be struggling, well, and, right? Like, and the rest of the team is picking up the slack.
Abs
like,
are dropping seven
remember
spots.
The thing.
Yeah, like remember Kale years McCarr past where it was like, if the top line didn't score, the game sucked. Well, and
like, for most NHL teams, if your best players aren't scoring your goals, you're probably not succeeding very much.
Right.
You're probably not scoring very much.
Yep.
For the Avs to be doing what they're doing is dumb.
Yep.
But, like, they're also...
putting up 7 points.
Right.
Game.
Come on. But they're also, like, Mac isn't scoring. Makar has, what, now 11 goals?
11. He's scoring 40. You heard it here first.
Like Landy. No, he's not. Landy scores on an awesome shot that we see him make twice a year.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, just don't ever see that goal from Landeskog. Rantanen picking up two assists along the way. Like, they're finding goals, and McKinnon is part of this. It's just he's not the actual shooter right now. And, you know, now I think he had 8 shots on goal tonight. He came into the game with a 2.9% shooting percentage.
Yeah. Yep.
So that whatever the 8 shots on goal with no goals did to that, it just can't continue to get much lower.
It's not sustainable. Yeah. Yeah. In the same way that
there's going to be
these other things aren't sustainable.
Well, yeah, there's going to be a time.
Right?
Yeah. There's going to be a flip where like Makar goes a month where he scores a goal and McKinnon has 11 in that time.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be like you're almost never going to be living in a world where it's all happening at the same time. The Avs are living in that world right now where it's all happening at the same time and Nathan McKinnon is shooting 2%.
Yeah.
And they are scoring 7 goals a game. It's realistically like 4.5 right now. It's insane.
It still might be over 5.
Yeah, like, it's just it's unbelievable so the way that they're getting going. So
For the record,
you live with it, but you also know that like there will be the balance will eventually come. Like If Nathan MacKinnon scores one goal this entire year, stays healthy the rest of the year, and he has 80 assists or something stupid, right? 70 assists. You're just like, well, this is the dumbest statistical season ever. And then he'll get into the postseason and he'll score 9 goals in the first 4 games of a postseason series. They'll sweep somebody. And half of the Avs fan base will be like, well, go to the second round again. Big fucking whoop. And Nathan MacKinnon will go and win the Conn Smythe because he just breaks a bunch of records because it was just going to happen, right? Like, it's going. Eventually, the point I'm making is that it's going to happen. It's inevitable that a guy with that much shot generation and that good of a shot.
Speed. Just everything.
It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
Yep. It's one of those things, like, for the record, the last team to score over 5 goals a game in a full season of 80 games, at least, was the 80s Oilers.
Yeah, so, and I don't think...
Who was on that team?
I don't think...
Just a couple of bums.
I don't think 4 has been done...
In a long time.
Any time in the last 20
since the dead puck era, years. Basically, yeah.
Yeah, not any time. Not any time in, like, most of my life.
Yeah.
90s trap game?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Like, it might have been, like, early 90s, like, Penguins or something. Like, I just... Teams just don't... It's a 3-goal league for a reason.
Yep. It's just reality, so...
Yeah, and Sunday, this Sunday, Florida and Colorado are going to go 10-9.
Yeah, just full nonsense hockey.
Like, that's going to be chaotic.
But at a certain point, my review will just be shorter if I just post the whole hockey game.
Yeah.
Is that legal?
Probably not. Probably not. So, anyway... Ride the good stuff while it's good. It at the end of the day, you're getting your 2 points.
Yeah. You're 2-1-1 on this road trip. You've played your 3rd and 4th string goaltenders. You are guaranteed at least a 500 road trip. There are 10 points at play on this road trip.
And you've already got 5.
Yeah. Right?
Yep.
With a max of coming to 7.
Yeah.
Avs are in 2nd place in the Central too.
Yep.
It was funny. Z last night was like, oh, Winnipeg's back in 2nd. I was like, yeah, there's some games in hand here. I was like, this might last 24 hours. It did.
Yep.
And that's part of this equation still, is the Avs have a bunch of games in hand.
Yeah.
We have some super chats we can get to here.
Okay.
$20, very generous of you, Colton. Shot time, love you guys. Can't drink when I can drink. Yeah. I'll get you back, though.
I promise this weekend, I think Friday?
I don't know if I'll be able to drink yet.
Oh, I won't be here Friday, but maybe Sunday's game.
We'll make it work. Yeah. We'll get you up.
One of these games, we'll do a solid, like, 2 rounds of, like, easy shots.
Yeah.
Like,
Make it work.
Easy shots.
Easy shots.
Next, we have Tommy Thompson. Thank you for the $5. Is it me or does Mikko look lazy and lost doing any type of defensive zone work?
I don't
really know. So, all right. There's a bunch of caveats to this because for the past 2 weeks, the Avs has just been saying, screw it. Let's play Mikko at center. Right. And you kind of just live with what you get when you're doing something like that.
And now he's back on wing and he's readjusting to that role. Yeah. And they're also playing these ridiculous high-scoring weird games that these guys have never played in the NHL.
Yep.
Nobody plays like this.
And Mikko's not a defensively, like...
You're never asking him to do a ton.
That's not his first thing that he's
known for
at all.
It's not great. You're just asking him to be passable. Don't make the big mistakes. Don't make lazy mistakes. If you're going to make an execution error, then that's one thing. But don't let the lazy stuff kill you.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think they're doing fine in that area. But certainly Mikko's a guy whose game, defensively for sure, has a lot of variance to it.
We've talked about it before, though, too. Mikko is the type of guy that will have games where he just kind of putts along. You don't really notice him. And then he's got 2 points at the end of the night. And it's like...
Tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just how he operates a lot of the time. Yeah. So, one more super chat here from Blake. Thank you for the $5. This 80s hockey BS is stressing me out. Dr. Dubs in the house. It's a lot of goal scoring, that's for sure. I am not used to that as a 90s kid. This is weird. This is a bizarro world for me. So,
Yeah, I don't. Just because the Avs are sitting up by two or two plus a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say
not super stressful.
Yeah, this hasn't really been that stressful, but it's been like so much is coming against them when they have leads that it's like, how do you feel about it? Like it's so much easier when you're 3-1 and you go into a third period and it's boring and it's dramaless and you lock it down. Or you collapse and the other team comes back and, you know, like our jobs are so much easier that way because trying to figure out the context of how to feel about, okay, well, a team has a 3-goal lead with 5 minutes to play.
Bye.
Like how much,
they can
how
hear
much,
us
like,
still,
like man. How much do you care about that, you know, about right. that last goal against? Sure. You're like, yeah, this is dumb. This is lazy. This is bad. You don't want this. How much do you care about it? The 3 goals that they gave up in the third period in Seattle when they're leading seven to nothing. How much do you care about them?
Yeah.
And I just don't really have an answer to that because I'm like, I don't, but also you don't want to give those up.
Right. And it gets weird when you're in a situation like the Avs are in now and it's like, okay, this is the 7th time they've done this in the past month.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you're falling into a routine of this. And you know in the back of your mind that this can't keep happening. But as long as you're riding the wave, you just kind of sit there and go, well, if they're still winning game 7-5, they're still winning games. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, especially with your third and fourth string goalie.
And you
can't blame it all on them, right? There is
a lot of defensive
breakdowns that are happening back there that you would love to see cleaned up.
Each of these games, except for the Toronto game, were like, oh, what's JoJo do about this? Yeah. Or what's Annan do about that? You know, like the first goal tonight is
just a bomb.
Like Claude Giroux with the one-timer where he just goes bar down on you and you're like, well, what do you do about
don't turn that? Over that yeah, puck and have two forwards fly the zone, the, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Like you just don't really that's but also, you know, if they stopped at that, if they had stopped it, even if you give him the breakaway goal at the very end.
Yep.
And you're like, oh well, I don't need a save on breakaways for some reason. That's still 3 goals against you where you're just like, well, don't feel like I could do anything about that. And it's like you need a save somewhere from a guy on a great scoring chance like that. Like, you just need him somewhere. I mean, the Avs literally lost a playoff game last year because they couldn't get just that one extra save.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you don't point to any one specific goal and say, that one.
Yeah.
You just say, look, dude, it's not fair. Like, being goalie is hard, but you just need a save somewhere. And that's kind of where they are right now. But They've outscored so many of their problems. It's fine.
And if you look at Kemper, though, like past performances, right? When he was with Arizona.
Yeah.
He made those stops.
Definitely.
He did it against the Avs 1 year. Like,
yeah. Until the dam broke.
Well, yeah. But there was a game that he stole because he stood on his head.
Yeah. Yep. He out-dueled Frankie. And you remember game one of that series entered the third period 0-0.
Yeah.
So, you know, like he's perfectly capable of it.
Yeah.
But he has to be in the net to do it.
Exactly.
The other thing being that he just hasn't played that well.
Yeah.
When he's been in.
Yep.
All right. Well, when you enter the third period 0-0, make sure you're perfectly capable of scoring in the bedroom with Manscaped to get 20% off with code DNVR and get free shipping when you get the perfect package 4.0. Manscaped has all the tools that you need to take care of all of your body hair, top to bottom. They also have a bunch of other stuff like body wash and shampoo and all this stuff, so you can be smelling good and feeling right. Manscaped has you covered. Next, check out Strava Craft Coffee, the CBD-infused coffee that has really helped with many different things, whether it's migraines, aches and pains, like joint pain, IBS, a bunch of other stuff. It's great for that, and it's also still, you know, coffee, so it works for your caffeine fix, too. You can get it down here at the bar cold brew if you want to try it before you buy. When you love it, you can get 25% off with code DNVR25 on your first purchase. Last, but certainly not least, we're brought to you by Hassel Cattle Company. You can get 10% off when you use code DNVR10, and they have all the meats you could ever imagine, whether it be just your simple Wagyu beef burger, which is delicious, don't get me wrong, but you can also get things like tomahawk steaks, bone-in ribeyes, all sorts of deliciousness that you just can't go wrong with. So check out Hassle Cattle Company today. They got great meat top to bottom, and you can get free shipping if you want to get a group order going. This is what we always do. We get everybody in. They'll each buy like a steak. You get up to $200, and then you get that free shipping. Okay, third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. All right, so let's get into some of the negatives here on the defensive side, because AJ, I think you kind of talked about it. For the most part, it doesn't feel like a lot of laziness. It doesn't feel like you can just work harder and fix these problems. It feels like the Avs need to... it starts with better decision-making with the puck, right?
Oh,
you got to be able to make an effective pass out of the zone.
The puck management in general, if the Avs want to play what they want to, the style that they do, the aggressive breakouts and the offensive activation and the aggressive driving through the neutral zone... I mean, you just have to play better than you have.
Yeah.
You know, I don't notice a ton from Taves or Makar. Most games, I don't notice a lot of problems there. I don't notice many problems from Girard. There have been some games, but overall, I don't think Sammy G has been bad. I don't think he's been as good as he was last year, but I don't think he's been bad.
I mean, we had the conversation tonight where he fended off a guy skating back into his own zone, turned around and got it out. And that's the type of thing that Sammy G does on a regular basis.
It was a little scary to watch. But
I mean, it's a first one. A little bit of a high wire act at times. Yeah. But when you see Jack Johnson try and do that, he coughs it up.
You see Jack
Johnson. He ices it. He turns it over. He falls down. He gets it stripped. He does, you know, any number of the negative things that could happen in that situation regularly happen to Jack Johnson.
You see Sam Girard do that, and you're like, ooh, that's a little spooky. You see Jack Johnson start to do that, and you're like, No.
Your whole internal monologue, like, it just pops up. The word bubble just pops up above your head, and it just goes, no.
Well, some of that, too, in the defensive zone, it's like when you have a high-skilled team there, you start to kind of get, I'd say, a little lackadaisical with your passes.
Well, and you'll cheat a little.
You cheat a little bit, and what you do see is like some very ill-advised passes to the center of the ice from a backhand position where you can't really see the ice as good. If you're on your forehand, right, you see a little bit more of the ice. When you're on your backhand, it's limited, and they're making cute passes in the middle because they think that the skill is going to make up for it. And that's when you see some really bad turnovers from the defense.
Well, and this was tonight. I was frustrated with Tyson Jost before, and I told Roto, I was like, dude, you got to bench him.
He made two awful turnovers.
Defensive zone turnovers that turned into legit scoring chances for the Flyers. And like, I don't care that it's 6-4 at that point.
Right.
Like, That's how it gets to be 6-5.
There's stuff that you just, it doesn't matter what the score is, you just don't do that.
Yeah, like, you have to manage the puck better. And I think, you know, one of the guys that I really thought struggled that we won't look too much about on most nights would be like Val Nichushkin tonight.
Yeah, he had
lost a lot of battles.
Super rare to see him lose any, and he was struggling.
And just was not as on top of his game. Nichushkin looked at his best with the puck tonight.
Which is
never his strength. Never the true strength of his NHL game. So, you know, I certainly hope that Nuke is not getting complacent at the things that have made him successful, because he's now scoring points.
Right.
And he starts to think, I can give here, because I can put a little more into this area area. You definitely want Nuke to continue to be who he has been that's made him successful.
Yep.
You don't want him cheating a little bit. And tonight I thought there was some cheating. I thought there was a little bit of cheating from Berkey.
I mean,
although I think that's probably just par for the course right now.
Yeah.
I think my really big problems tonight, like, McDermott didn't play well. And I don't know. I didn't have a problem with him two nights ago. I really didn't.
tonight.
Tonight was bad. There were bad decisions. Yeah. There's almost no physicality. Man. Like, you think about who is it that he hit? Last week he hit somebody and just
put a charge into somebody.
Yeah, and I don't know if he actually hurt him, but whoever it was, like, left the game for a little while. And it's like, that's physicality that you need him to bring, because that's one of his assets.
Yep.
But he's not bringing any of that. There was none of that tonight. And then Jack Johnson, not very good. And Eric Johnson's defensive numbers, again, like, he's getting absolutely run over and over and over. And I think we're seeing a hard, and, like, look, there was a reason tonight that Eric Johnson got dropped.
Yep.
Next to McDermott and away from Sam Girard. Yep. Because EJ's played his way down the lineup. The problem is that now you're elevating Jack Johnson and giving him some of those minutes. And he can't, like, you, the thing with, like, their defense, and, like, it was, oh, it's so stacked, it's so good, is that EJ is the fifth guy, finally puts EJ in a role more appropriate for his current skill set, and you don't have to overplay him, you know, without Byram. And then with the Murray injury, those two are really important injuries, because now, instead of picking between Murray and Jack Johnson every night, Jack Johnson's a regular for you. And Jack Johnson's honestly been okay this year. He's been passable. There's very little upside, but he's mitigated all of the downsides.
Entirely passable as a number six.
Exactly.
That plays as low event as possible.
It's completely. Like, he will drive zero offense for you, but he's limiting horrific nonsense against. And this is provable by a bunch of data. The problem is there's no upside from Jack Johnson. You are just surviving those shifts.
Yeah. Yep.
And when he's out there next to Sam Girard, he's out there as a really thick anchor around Girard's neck, ankles, I don't know where you put an anchor on a human. I was starting to think about it, and I was like, where does an anchor go on a person? I don't know.
I mean, that's the problem, is EJ in the defensive zone right now is an anchor to whoever he's tied to, too.
Yeah, well, and then McDermott and EJ just kind of feed into where you're just like, oh, my gosh. Because where do you get... where do you get some help here? Because Jacob McDonald isn't it. That's another offensive guy that's not going to play defense for you. Now, he fits your intended style, your intended mold of, we want to push it up ice. We want to go.
Can you imagine?
We want to break out. But he doesn't play any better defense.
If you put the way EJ played tonight next to Jacob McDonald, that's a heart attack in a box.
There's just no good answer right now with the depth that they have. And, you know, low-key, have not talked anything about it, but Dennis Gilbert was having a really, really good start to the year for the Eagles.
Well.
Yeah. He was playing the kind of two-way game that he'd never been able to play before, and he was bringing that physicality for the Eagles. He looked really good. Him getting hurt, I think, really stopped a possible, this guy could maybe help you in a limited role here in this type of scenario where he comes up and he doesn't hurt you as much as a McDermott is.
Had he been healthy when the Ryan Murray injury first came through, that would have been the moment, right? Like,
and then also the other injury down there was Justin Barron, where you wonder, had Barron been able to play, had he been healthy this whole year and he'd been working on his game and all that, you start to wonder, do you give him a look at some point? Now, these are early season problems, and you hope that Bo gets better and that they're able to get their solidified top four in place for an extended period of time, because it hasn't happened once this year.
Yeah.
They haven't gone a week with that group fine.
They've played two games and a period with their proper top four.
So I would say I would say that you kind of just need to get through this Bo stuff and then whatever will be from there. And then, like every other team at the deadline, you're going depth defenseman shopping.
Yeah.
Or if you really wanted to do something a little bit bigger or bolder, you go and look at a guy like a Josh Manson, you know, like a bigger name that's an expiring UFA and blah, 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 blah. But for right now, you need these guys you need your stars to be your stars, and they are on defense. Taves and Makar are awesome right now.
Yep.
And Sam Girard is doing just fine. Where Sam Girard's biggest problem is the same thing that he had in the postseason last year. There's no support. He's having to carry his pairing. And if he gets somebody that he can really vibe with, that can play on his level,
that he doesn't have to just drag around.
Exactly. I think he can really help them in a much more meaningful way, because right now it feels like whoever's next to Girard probably isn't going to have a great night, but not because Girard just isn't the guy that's going to hard carry a pairing. And he's more of a really high-end complimentary guy who needs another high-end complimentary guy to help him. Byram is not that. Byram is a total fucking star. And Devon Taves becomes that guy for Girard.
That's Devon Taves to a T, right? Yeah. Like,
it is. The real answer here is you need Byram to ascend the throne, get next to Makar, and then have Girard and Taves as your second pairing. And then your third pairing, you're really just like, guys, just don't fuck this up.
It doesn't really matter. Just two good players. Yeah.
Just
play your 15
limit
minutes
mistakes.
A night.
I swear to God, just limit mistakes. That's all it needs to
Stay
be.
Stay at home defensemen that don't cause turnovers and bad mistakes in the defensive zone. Yeah. You're good.
Shane Gostisbehere doesn't play any defense.
Well, dude barely plays hockey at this point. But
I mean, he's...
I know he's had a bit of a resurgence, but...
Yeah, he's been great for Arizona for their anemic offense, but somebody has to score the points down there, right? Their one goal that they score every game.
Yeah, it's not a lot of scoring.
No, it's just... Right now, their biggest thing is puck management, but part of their problem is that half of their defense, that's where you're looking at it, and you're saying, this just isn't great.
Yep. You're just trying to get by with half the D.
Yeah, and, you know, if you have a guy like a Justin Barron on the horizon where... You don't do it right now, but maybe you consider Justin Barron post-Olympics.
If he's continuing on the right trajectory.
Yeah, where he's going to be playing in the AHL that entire time. They're going to have a chance to watch him up close every night, work with him, talk with him. You know, the Olympic break, assuming the players still go and that break happens, because right now,
I mean, it's technically.
Yeah. It's a fair question right now, but if assuming that it goes through, that's an opportunity for the organization to really get a good look at Barron and decide what do we want to do here.
Yeah.
So and these are short term problems, because if you fast forward a year, both Justin Barron and Drew Helison, you're hoping, are helping to address this.
Yep.
Maybe
at least starting to work their way.
Right. In. Yeah. Not answering that problem, but helping to address some of this. Yeah. So we'll see, but the puck management surely is problematic, man. I know Jared Bednar is going to be pissed about that.
That's the type of thing that Bednar hates.
His answer is he'll take the other team running Colorado over self-inflicted wounds.
Yep. Yeah.
He can't stand when his team, he watches his team beat itself.
Yep. Okay. Any final thoughts here on another ridiculous hockey game? I mean, I'm out of things to say, to be honest with you.
2 points, I mean, great.
Yeah. You can't be mad about the 2 points. Can the Avs just outscore all of their problems? I guess right now the answer is yes. Yeah.
It's really just problem. It's not.
It's pretty singular.
They've got some defensive issues and their PK sucks, but like...
But they also score goals on their PK half the time.
All of those things get better if you have a legit goaltender.
Yeah, true.
Duo.
Absolutely true.
So a week from now, it could be Kemper and Frankie, and you're just like, well, that feels a lot better than Johansson and Hannanen.
You hope.
Yeah, you definitely you hope. Like, look, if those guys let you down, then you made a bad valuation. Yeah, but like, sure. you rolled the dice, a reasonable roll of the dice on those two cats. Yeah.
All right. We're going to wrap this thing up. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us tonight. Hope you enjoyed. Be sure to like and subscribe on YouTube. That helps us out a bunch. I saw some new people in the chat. Hello. Nice to see you. Hope you'll stick around. We will be back tomorrow with our normal show. And then, game on Wednesday. So you know the drill. Pre-games, post-games, all that stuff. We hope to see you at those shows. Until then, we'll talk to you next time.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.